In the sweltering heat of the Jim Crow South, millions of Black Americans made a decision that would forever alter the nation's landscape. Between 1915 and 1970, 6 million Black Southerners fled oppression in what became one of the largest mass migrations in American history, dwarfing both the California Gold Rush and the Dust Bowl Exodus combined. This silent pilgrimage transformed every city it touched and ultimately forced the South to abandon its feudal caste system. Through the intimate journeys of three unforgettable individuals, we discover what might be the biggest underreported story of the 20th century, a revolution where America's servant class took their first big step toward freedom without asking permission. Despite emancipation, most Southern Blacks remained economically shackled through sharecropping, perpetually indebted to plantation owners. When Northern oversight ended in the 1870s, Reconstruction collapsed. The Supreme Court's 1896 Plessy v. Ferguson ruling unleashed Jim Crow laws controlling every aspect of Black life. The daily reality was staggering. Separate amusement parks, elevators, train platforms, ambulances, hearses, waiting rooms, and courtroom Bibles. Businesses often spent 50% more to build segregated facilities, yet maintaining racial hierarchy took precedence. Black motorists had to yield to white drivers, regardless of right-of-way. The slightest social misstep brought swift punishment, as when a Black tenant farmer in Mississippi was beaten simply for requesting a receipt. For those who left, the journey north became their defining moment. Most remembered exactly when they departed, which train they took, and who received them. As one migrant explained when asked why she left, "to better my conditions." Ida Mae Brandon Gladney fled Mississippi in 1937 after her husband's cousin was brutally beaten for a theft he didn't commit. From childhood, she faced racial terror. At six, white children dangled her over a well for amusement. Violence shadowed her life, once forcing her to hide in a barrel of cornmeal when a drunk white farmer threatened colored families. George Swanson Starling escaped Florida in 1945 when Grove owners threatened to lynch him for organizing workers. Despite academic excellence and some college education, he ended up in citrus groves witnessing systematic exploitation. Robert Joseph Pershing Foster, a surgeon and Morehouse College graduate, drove west from Louisiana in 1953 seeking professional dignity. Southern hospitals wouldn't allow a colored surgeon in their operating rooms, regardless of skill. These three lives illustrate how the Great Migration transcended economics. It was about the fundamental human desire for dignity and freedom to fulfill one's potential. What does it take to leave everything you've ever known? Ida Mae and George departed in darkness, knowing that announcing their plans could trigger violent retaliation from whites who viewed Black departure as betrayal. Robert drove alone through hostile Texas terrain where no motel would accept him, despite his professional status. The journey was perilous and degrading. George endured the Jim Crow car, deliberately placed behind the coal-fired locomotive, subjecting passengers to soot and fumes while whites rode in clean cars for the same fare. Robert navigated a 1,000-mile gauntlet, developing a survival system, pulling over briefly when tired and stopping only at filling stations after checking for Confederate flags or signs of hostility. Even free territory offered limited freedom. In Arizona, believing he'd escaped Southern prejudice, Robert still faced humiliating rejection at motels despite pleading, "I'm no robber, I'm a medical doctor." Migrants abandoned elderly parents they might never see again, community networks built over generations, and everything familiar, carrying only a few possessions and hope for a better life elsewhere. Migrants sought the cold-faced North, hoping for a kinder mistress than the South. Reality proved complex. Northern cities offered freedom from Jim Crow, but presented new challenges. Housing segregation occurred through violence and economics rather than law. When a Black family moved into Sisseron, Illinois in 1951, a mob of 4,000 whites destroyed their apartment while police watched. In Chicago's Black Belt, Black residents paid double for inferior housing. Established Northern Blacks often resented Southern migrants. The Chicago Defender published etiquette guidelines for newcomers. Don't hang out windows, don't wear handkerchiefs on your head, don't sit barefoot on porches. Employment remained limited. About 75% of Black men in 1940s Chicago worked in unskilled or service positions, while two-thirds of Black women worked as servants, compared to just 17% of white women. Yet migrants found meaningful freedoms. For Ida May, voting at a Chicago fire station in 1940 represented a profound transformation, something unimaginable in Mississippi, where Black citizens faced poll taxes, impossible literacy tests, and violence. The North offered liberation from obvious oppression while maintaining subtler barriers to equality. As Martin Luther King Jr. later observed after bringing his campaign to Chicago, "We are far from the promised land, both North and South." By the Great Migration's end, nearly half of all Black Americans lived outside the South, compared to just 10% initially. This demographic shift created influential voting blocks in northern cities that eventually contributed to Barack Obama's presidency. The cultural impact was transformative, giving birth to the Harlem Renaissance, Chicago Blues, and Motown, and nurturing artists like Toni Morrison, Miles Davis, and Aretha Franklin. Migrants forced northern cities to confront their own racism. When Martin Luther King Jr. brought his campaign to Chicago in 1966, he exposed the Northern Paradox, discrimination practiced in daily life, though not codified in law. During a Marquette Park march, King was struck by a rock amid Confederate flag-waving protesters, declaring, "I have to expose myself to bring this hate into the open." As Black labor left the South, businesses there had to reconsider their practices, contributing to civil rights reforms. Most importantly, the Great Migration represented a mass act of self-determination, the first big step the nation's servant class ever took without asking. By exercising their freedom to move, millions of Black Americans compelled the nation to confront its contradictions and begin fulfilling its ideals. The Great Migration offers profound lessons for understanding today's America, showing how millions of individual decisions became a transformative force as people voted with their feet. The migrants' experiences challenge simplistic narratives about racial progress. Practices like redlining, restrictive covenants, and workplace discrimination created barriers that explain persistent urban segregation. The migration reveals the universal human desire for dignity. Despite overwhelming obstacles, migrants refuse to accept limitations on their humanity, similar to Irish immigrants fleeing famine or modern refugees seeking safety. Their stories demonstrate how information networks enabled change through letters, newspapers like the Chicago Defender, and word of mouth about opportunities elsewhere. In our current moment of political polarization and debates about racial justice, the Great Migration highlights both progress made and work remaining. The courage of ordinary people who risked everything continues to inspire. Their legacy lives in ongoing struggles for equality and in migration as a strategy for opportunity. Their journey is America's journey, unfinished, imperfect, but moving ever forward toward the warmth of other suns.